Morning. This morning's share is dedicated Leon Nishmas, Pesel Hadassah Bas Yaakov HaKohen, and Devorah Bas Shimshon Shlomo by the Honig family. Thank you very much for your sponsorship, and the Neshama should have an Aliyah. I'd like to thank everybody for coming, especially in today's American society. The morning when you spring forward sometimes takes a while for people to react to. But thank everybody for coming, helping make the minyan. You know, somebody asked, okay, you know, it's a little small crowd this type of morning. I said, whatever it is, it's a bigger crowd than those watching live YU basketball. I can't not talk about the coronavirus just to begin. You know, it's something that's sweeping the world and it's affecting us here in America and probably an eerie feeling when a significant number of the cases in New York are all tied to religious Jews, Jew who came, not clear exactly how he got the virus, but unfortunately spread to his family, to his neighbor, to people in Shul, and unfortunately a real, really horrible case. I think that one case, the man in Westchester, conference.
Seminar went to in Orlando. We have an Orthodox minion there. And he's, I think he needs to infect me.
Okay, we better watch it so you know him. Uh-oh.
There's a connection.
So. There's a connection. So, the Maisa, it is a big deal. And though today's share is not on that, I just want to spend a few minutes just talking about it. Perhaps by the time Pesach rolls around, we'll be giving a full-blown coronavirus Pesach in the corona era. I thought of one nafkamina already. There are more. But this might change our karpas ritual. In general, it's frowned upon to what they do call double dip. But certainly our society and our problems with corona and spreading of germs, we might need, instead of to have a communal saltwater bowl that people dip in their potato, their celery, actually some families I've seen do this beforehand, give out individual cups of salt water for each individual. This way you dip into your own cup versus spreading to others. But I do think a lot of people still take this coronavirus as a joke. I'm sure it will be the punchline of many Purim themes this year. But somebody came to me with a very interesting, I think, the hair idea. Israeli society is not known as to be a wimpy, sensitive society. It's a society where the floors are made of rock. You drop a kid on the floor, you dust him up, and you pick him back up. They're pretty hard-nosed Israelis. Yet, of all the countries in the world, Israel so far, maybe just this morning, it was announced Italy followed in major measure, but they're already smitten by it. But Israel, by far, is taking tremendous preventive measures in terms of protecting their society from coronavirus. The numbers they had were over 100,000 people were in quarantine in Israel. Israel is the first to shut down the flights coming in from the EU, from Europe. And now, just last night, it was announced that Israel is holding back flights, quarantining flights, coming in from America, from different states, from New York, from California, from Washington State. And Israel knows it's a big economic impact. You know, El Al is suffering tremendously. They might have to declare bankruptcy. So why is Israel taking such strong steps to battle coronavirus when this, you know, New York City, the subways are running as normal and business is going on as normal? For the most part in America, you don't see such major measures being taken. So what's pshat? Very intriguing question. Why is a tough Israeli society pushing so hard in precautions against coronavirus? So the person who posed this question to me came up with his conspiracy theory. It must be that really coronavirus is much more dangerous than we think, and everyone besides Israelis are hiding it, but the Israelis, you know, they know better, and that's why they're taking such extreme precautions. Could be, but who knows? I would say more simple pshat, which I think is a good pshat. It could be because Israeli society, though it's not run al-pi das Torah, at least not until you get all the WZO votes in. But Israeli society, see, you could touch on so many topics there, just with one line. But Israeli society, obviously, is very much based on, you know, Torah, Jewish values, a lot. And the Torah value of pikuach nefesh, of how far we go where there's a chance of saving lives, suffix of sakana safashos, we know halacha Shabbos, we go to extremes, even to violate Shabbos. If there's a chance of a person's life being at stake. So that ideal, I think, has filtered in to all of Israeli society, all Jewish world. And it's not just the grandmothers who are nervous, but there is something to take precautions and to take care and to be cognizant. And, you know, in general, in Israeli society, the chief rabbanim are talking about people being careful not to kiss mezuzahs, not to obviously spread germs in any way. One of the biggest chassidus in Eretz Yisrael, Ger, canceled the big Purim Tish. People are taking it quite seriously. If there is any chance of spreading germs, to hold back on that. And you have to weigh, you know, Purim is coming up and it's a wonderful, wonderful Yom Tov, a very exciting holiday. But at the same time, if there's a threat, a legitimate threat, you could have people that have compromised immune systems, you could have situations, you don't have to go around kissing every single person in your shul this Purim to be Yotze, Simchas Purim. So people have to be smart and might have to change a few customs, things they're used to. But it's weighing, bikuach nefesh, you know, Israeli society, the government is ready to lose lots of money to protect their people, which is a wonderful thing, it's a good thing. So things which are not absolute, I'm not saying we should cancel yeshivas and we should close shuls. Unless there's absolute need, pashas, we don't do that. But to take smaller precautions, basic precautions, you know, mistama, everything helps. But that's just the Hakdama. Today's shiur itself, talk about Purim. The title is Women and the Mitzvah of Megillas Esther. And I was thinking about it. You take the average, let's start with Jewish family with multiple kids in the house. What is the busiest day of the year? A Jewish mother, a Jewish woman. So some will say Erev Pesach, but look, if you're going away for Pesach, by Erev Pesach, you're there already. Okay, you have to unpack, right? If you're making Pesach, yes, it is quite busy, Erev Pesach. But you know what? There are some people, depending how harried you are, you could, you know, get things done beforehand. You don't have to save everything for the last minute. I would venture to vote that the busiest day of the year in our society for a Jewish woman is Purim. Purim is such a busy day. You have kids, you have to have costumes. You always have that one kid who doesn't want to put on their costume. Or the kid who puts on the costume but is screaming and won't be able to smile for the picture. You have all the shalchmanos and the themes. You got to get it right. Everything has to be perfect. You have to deliver the shalchmanos. Then you go to deliver them. People aren't home. If you live in the East Coast, you have to deal with Purim traffic. That's one of the most beautiful things I love here in Florida. It doesn't exist, Purim traffic. A little bit and a few blocks here and there, but for the most part, you know, it's nice and relatively calm. But up north, the East Coast, Purim traffic is crazy. I remember back in the day when I lived in New York, I would like sit there for days plotting my journey. First we'll go up this block, and then we'll turn and we'll go there. We'll go to Kew Gardens and then to Brooklyn. It was so complicated planning just to drive up the streets. A very, very, very busy day, the day of Purim. And on top of that, or it should be on top of that, are to be mekayim all the mitzvahs hayom. The mitzvah matanas avyonim, talked about mishloach manos, mitzvah of sudas Purim, and the mitzvah of kriyas megillah. That's a very, very important mitzvah. Right? I talk about in yeshiva all the time. You know, people could get too involved in the semi-mitzvah of Simchas Purim at night that their Kriyas Megillah, which actually the Kriyas Megillah during the day might be more important than the Kriyas Megillah at night. And sometimes that guy's half awake for. It's also pashut. If you don't, not able to listen to every word, you're not yotze. So guys get caught up sometimes in the thing which is not the Iker, and they lose out on the important mitzvah of Mikra Megillah. In fact, we know that on Purim we do not recite Hallel. And Gemara asks, how is it? Purim is such a tremendous day. We had an amazing salvation. How is it that we did not recite Hallel? Gemara tells us, because the reading of the Megillah itself is Hallel. It's praise. It means when you take part, when you're in shul, and you hear Mikra Megillah, you are part of a means of thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for saving the Jewish people. That itself is a public hallel. That's also some a part of the reason that we do Mikra Megillah Barov Am with lots of people. There's an element of Persumei Nisa, of spreading the miracle, just like on Hanukkah, we put our menorah by the window. That's Persumei Nisa. This Persumei Nisa for our household. So too, Mikra Megillah is Persumei Nisa, and it's a big deal. And it's one of those mitzvahs on Purim that sometimes could get lost in the fray of all the excitement that goes on in the day. So first and foremost, to know that Mikra Megillah is a very, very big, important mitzvah. Question I have today is, how important is it though for women? Women have a busy day. Do they have to go to shul and hear Megillah? Do they have a mitzvah of Megillah? Do they have to go to shul and hear Megillah? What about nowadays? A lot of times, you know, the man's going to shul, the woman doesn't make it. So they have extra Megillah readings. So should a woman go to that? Let's say she has a choice, right? You know, in the burger home, there's going to be some Megillah reading. Should she go to that? Or she could get a private one. Her husband knows how to lane. So he could lane the Megillah for her. Is the VIP private Megillah laning better or than going to someone else's house and having some gathering of women where they're going to hear Megillah? These are all very interesting practical shilas which come up. I even saw a shilah, we'll get to it. You know, if it's a question of a 10-year-old boy going to shul with his father, or maybe he should stay home and babysit while his mother goes to shul to hear Megillah with the father. Who should miss out on hearing Megillah in shul? Should it be a 10-year-old boy, issue of chinuch, or the wife? Someone's got to babysit the younger kids. So what exactly is a woman's chiyuv? Where should she hear Megillah? Where does her chiyuv fit vis-a-vis other people? Those are all issues that we're going to talk about today and share. Now, to begin with, I guess we'll start with the Gemara in Kedushin. Always fun to start with the Gemara in Kedushin. The Gemara is on Daf Chav Tes, Amud Aleph, where the Gemara sets down basic general rules for mitzvahs. The Mishnah writes, Chol mitzvah asei shazman grama. Any positive mitzvah which is time-related. Anashim chayavim v'nashim p'turus. Men are chayiv in those mitzvahs, but women are exempt. V'chol mitzvah sasei shelo azman grama. If it's a mitzvah sasei which is not time-based, echad ha'anashim v'echad anashim chayavim. In that case, both men and women are responsible. And then a third category, the chol mitzvah lo sase, if it's a negative commandment, bein shazman grama, bein shelo zman grama, whether it's time-based or not, echad anashim v'echad anashim chayavim, both men and women are responsible, chutz mibal takev u'bal tashkes u'bal tam l'mesim, except for three mitzvos, not shaving off payas, that women are responsible too. If you went to a female barber, and she was Jewish, and she shaved off your payas, she'll be over in Isser. Bal tashkes, you shouldn't waste things. Bal tam l'mesim, not to be tam l'mes. All those are exceptions to the rule. But otherwise, the three basic categories are, if it's a mitzvah seishes man grama, if it's time-based mitzvah, women are exempt. If it's not a time-based positive mitzvah, women are chayiv. And if it's a negative mitzvah, a mitzvah slosa say, don't do something, whether it's time-based or not, for the most part, besides three exceptions, women are chayiv. Now, this concept that women are exempt from a mitzvah seishes zman grama, that's what we're going to talk about today. A time-based mitzvah, if it's a mitzvah saseh, women are exempt. So that means simply, so many mitzvahs fit into this category. Right, we'll see. Now, the Gemara talks about shaking your arba minim. That's a time-based mitzvah. Sukkah, there might be some overrides, we'll see, by these. Tefillin, tzitzis, all part of this category. Now why? What's the reason why women are exempt from these mitzvahs? Shouldn't they be just like men? Look, men are chayav in mitzvahs, women should also be. Now granted, we say a bracha shelo osani isha, that women don't have as many mitzvahs as men, but why is that? Why is it that women don't have these mitzvahs? And I came across a very, very interesting philosophical answer from the Avudrum, famous parish in Tefillah. Avudrum writes that the reason why women are exempt from mitzvah asei shezman grama, time-based mitzvahs, is because the nature of a woman's life, woman as a wife, a mother, in charge of a household, if she would be burdened with mitzvahs which are time-based, which have to be done in a certain window, that'll be too hard for her. She has a responsibility to her husband, responsibility to her family. How could you put her in a situation where she's stuck. She has to do this mitzvah. What about what her husband needs, family needs? And therefore, if it's a time-based mitzvah, there's a window, there's a pocket, those types of mitzvahs, the Avodah says, women are exempt. That's not part of their responsibility. A similar type idea you have by Kibud Avaim, right? That a woman, when she's married, the Gemara says that the chiv of kibud to her husband comes first. And she's sort of exempt from kibud Avaim vis-a-vis her father. Because again, she has shibudim, she has responsibilities to her husband. And if the Torah would put on her also those obligations to her father, it could come to issues, to conflict. Therefore, the Torah says, for a woman, she has responsibilities to her husband. He comes first before a parent. You know, if a woman no longer is married, those chiyuvim go right back. But kol zman, as long as a woman is married, she doesn't have the same type of responsibilities to her parents and kibud avaim. Similarly, I believe the Avodah Zarah is saying over here that a woman has responsibilities to her husband, to her family. And if she's going to be bound by these time-based mitzvahs, to do these mitzvahs in this window, that's going to take away from the responsibility to a parent, from the responsibility to a husband, a spouse, family. Therefore, women are potter. So there is a very basic idea that women are exempt from any time-based mitzvah. That being so, the halacha in Shulchan Aruch needs to be clarified. If you look in Shulchan Aruch, this is Hilchas Purim, Simon Tov Reish Peites. Mechaber writes, HaKol Chayavim B'Kriyasa. Everyone who is responsible, everyone's obligated in the mitzvah of reading the Megillah. Anashim, men, v'nashim, and women, v'geirim, converts, v'avadim, ishkarim, and free slaves. V'chanukim, and saktanim, v'grosa, and we also teach and instruct kids to do it. So Mechaber is paskening that women are chayiv in Mikra Megillah. I, isn't Mikra Megillah a time-based mitzvah? So why are women responsible for that? So the Mishnah Berurah brings down, Gemara talks about this. Mishnah Berurah writes, Va'afta kri hi davar shezman grama, even though this mitzvah is time-based, and normally we just learned in Kiddushin, women are exempt from time-based mitzvahs. B'komakom chayeves, sha'af hein hayu ba'os o'anes. Women were also part of that miracle. That's the language of the Gemara. Af hein hayu ba'os anes. They were also part of the miracle. And since they were part of the miracle, they're chayiv. What does it mean, sha'af hein hayu ba'os anes? The mitchila ha'isa gzera gam aleihem. Kedekasa b'kra. Because originally the gzera was also upon them, like we see in the psukim in the Megillah. The Megillah, v'hashmu l'haragis kol ha'yehudim. Taf v'noshim. So since the Gzera was on them, they're also part of that nace, the salvation of the miracle of Purim. And therefore, women are also part of this mitzvah of Mikra Megillah. I find it a little interesting when the Chafetz Chaim defines, what does it mean, afhein ha'yibos ha'nes? I would have written even more than that. They were part of the decree. It's true, but even more than that. Wasn't Esther the one, the actual boots on the ground? I don't know what she wore. But wasn't Esther the one who the whole salvation came about through? She was right there. It wasn't just the gzeros on them. Esther was a major player in the miracle of Purim. So women are very involved. So it's even a greater afhein hayba osanes. I like your face. Yeah, so we do have this concept of af hein ha'yibo sanes by other Yom Tovim too.
They were saved.
And, right.
They were saved, like, of as the Bechlal, and never as the Kana. She was the one who was adopted.
Right. Yes, I do believe you see from here.
She did have a sekhana. The king just didn't know that she had it. Just because the king wasn't aware that she was Jewish, and she had the fact that she was. So if there was never an instance that he found out.
So the fact that she was involved in the Hakkalah, that is not relevant to the discussion.
You say that by Hanukkah, though.
We do. There is some muscle in there. That's what reminded me also. But I think it was said by Yael. She was also part of the Nes.
Right.
It did bother me a little bit over there. It says Chana and Yael specifies by Hanukkah. So I'm not sure. But you're right. You see, the concept of the Avin Ha'ibos and Nes doesn't need that the heroine, that the savior of the Jewish people, the one who brought about the involved with the Nes, was a woman. It's just, look, the Gzero is against the Jewish people, including women. So they're part of the salvation. So they celebrate that just as everyone else. And therefore, they too are included there. Now, Lemaisa, I guess it still bothered me, though. But how does Af Hein Haya Ba'osa Anes work based on the klal we learned in the Gemara in Kedusha? If the Gemara in Kedusha tells us this rule, women are exempt from time-based mitzvahs aseis. And especially you have the Avudrum's philosophy, because they're meshubah to their husbands. So how does Af Hein Haya Ba'osa Anes talk to that? Okay, so they're involved in it. But I thought time-based mitzvahs, women are exempt. It overrides it. They were part of the salvation. Okay. How's that work exactly? So we're going to see. I came across a few different ways that the Mefarshim explain how does Af Hein Haya Ba'osa Anes work vis-a-vis a woman's chiyuv. We'll see that. But there's another halacha, which is very interesting. I'm sorry I didn't put this on the sheets. But in the next sif in Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber writes of Yesh Omrim, Sha'anashim ein amotzes ha'sanashim. Women have a chiyuv in the midst of Megillah. But the halacha is a woman can't lain, can't go and be motzi a man. That's what the Mechaber writes. A woman can't be motzi a man. And then the Ramah adds that if a woman does read for herself, she should make the bracha l'shmo Megillah, she'ena chayeves prekriyasa, that she's not chayev in the reading of the Megillah. Ramah adds another aspect, is when a woman reads Megillah for herself, she makes a bracha of l'shmoa Megillah. When men in shul, when men lay Megillah, we make a bracha l'kroa Megillah, to read Megillah. It's very interesting. The Ramah seems to be writing that men have a mitzvah to read, and women have a mitzvah to listen. Two different mitzvahs. Where does that come about? Right, the starting point was, look, there's a mitzvah Megillah. Okay, it might be Zman Grama, but we said, I think about Yibol Sundays. They're part of the salvation of the men, so they seemingly have a chiv just like the men. Yet we find their chiv, Shulchan Aruch itself, points out two naftaminas. A woman's chiv, a woman can't be motzi a man. A woman can't exempt a man. And secondly, Ramal writes, if they're going to read to themselves, they should make a bracha l'shma Megillah. So in two aspects, you see the mitzvah is different. Yes.
So the bracha l'shma, if a man already heard, or even more so if he already read, and then he's reading just for women, can he turn around and make the bracha l'kro?
Excellent question. I was about to get to that. Right? Many times, what happens? Right? Who's laning for women? A lot of times it's a bakore in shul. So he was already yotzi his mitzvah. What's he doing now when he's laning the second time now for the women? Right? Let's say it's a women's only minyan. So he was yotzi and now he's laning for women. So the post can bring down, first off, a very good point. He can't make the bracha now lakra megillah, because for women, it's really a different mitzvah. It's a mitzvah l'shma megillah. So really the correct bracha here would not be lakra megillah, it would also be l'shma megillah. And on top of that, many posts can say, in such a case, it's better for a woman there to be the one to make the bracha. If you're laning now, you already laned, and now you're laning in a minyan for women, the Baal Kori himself should not make the bracha. Rather, one of the women will make the bracha and should be motzi to all the people. That's what many posts can say. So again, based on this fact that looks like there are two different mitzvahs here. There's a man's mitzvah and a woman's mitzvah. Where does that come from? What's pshat? There's an additional point that I have down here for the bir halacha, right in the middle of your sheets. Sorry, the bir halacha is always in small print. The bir halacha says, what happens if you have a woman, right, Miss Superwoman, she was in shul, she was already yotzei her chiyuv, but she also happens to be a baal kriya, she could lay in Megillah. Could she be motzi other women with her kriya? She already heard the Megillah. Could she be motzi others? So the Chavetz Chaim writes, L'chorem hi kvar yatzei dei chavasa, e motzi en li'isha acheres. She cannot be motzi another person. Why should that be? I'm a baal kori. I could be motzi someone else. I'm a man. I hear Megillah, but I could go be motzi someone else. So why can't a woman go and be motzi someone else? So you say, oh, I can be motzi someone else because I have a mitzvah of kriya, but a woman. But that's trickier, because, right, it was suggested maybe the woman can't be motzi another woman because she only has a mitzvah l'shma. Okay. She still can't lane. By her laning, the woman will hear it.
She doesn't have a mitzvah to read it.
She doesn't have a mitzvah to read it. So maybe that's part of it. The lashon the Chavetz Chaim uses, Shemistopik b'zeh imhu b'chal arvus, is different, maybe even stronger than you're saying. There's a suffix if a woman has an idea called arvus. The reason why I could be motzi another Jew is because there's a din of kol yisrael ravim zelozeh. It's a special din that I did my mitzvah. So why could I be motzi you? Because kol yisrael ravim zelozeh. We help each other out. So that din was set up that I could be motzi another Jew with a mitzvah. I made kiddush already. All Jews are connected. So I, a man, can make kiddush for someone else, for a woman, for a man, whoever needs. But maybe this whole din of arvus was never said for women.
What about
Shabbos kiddush if a woman already recited her kiddush? Could she do it? Excellent point. Huh? No, so in a case of where she's doing the mitzvah the first time, that's not arvus. That's I'm doing it for myself. And agav earth, that seems like an easier step. When I'm performing the mitzvah, I can include other people in my performance of the mitzvah. But arvus is a bigger, broader step. I did the mitzvah. My fulfillment of the mitzvah is finished. I'm only doing this mitzvah on behalf of somebody else. So by a man, there's a concept of arvus, that all Jews are connected, so I could be motzi, I could help out and fulfill the obligation of another person. But when it comes to a woman, Chavetz Chaim says, not so simple. Does a woman have this power of arvus? And therefore she may not be able to motzi someone else. And therefore the Chavetz Chaim says, if a woman already heard Megillah, not so simple. Very interesting. So, this mitzvah of a woman, you know, the puzzle, the plot thickens. So, first of all, somehow they started off women are not chayiv in this mitzvah, and then you bring in this concept of af hein ha'i ba'os ha'neis, and women are chayiv. How? To what extent? Then you see by Megillah that it's like they have a chiyuv, but they can't be motzi men. And the Ramah adds that their bracha is lishma Megillah. Maybe it's a mitzvah of hearing, not a mitzvah of reading. Where does this come from? What's going on over here? So I saw multiple explanations. And I came across, I could share with you, perhaps, four or five different explanations I saw in understanding the stand of women. There's an interesting machlokas, I'll bring this first because I put it on the sheets, between the Shagas Aryeh and Rabbi Akiva Eger. And they're debating that halacha that the Ramah brought down, the Mechaber brought down, it's really based on a Baal Hilchos Gedolos, a Bahag, that a woman can't be motzi a man. Now there's a very simple practical thing, we say it's not covered a tzibur for a woman to be in that role of being motzi a man. But even without that, why halachically, why does a woman have a power to be motzi a man? And the Shagas Aryeh in the Sefer Turi Evan on Megillah writes, interesting idea. What is the source of a man's chiyuv to hear Megillah? So Shagas Aryeh takes it that it's like a din d'oraisa. Because the Gemara talks about that Megillah's Esther was said Beracha Kodesh. And therefore, in Megillah's Esther, talks about a chiyuv of Mikra Megillah. So Mamela, a man's chiyuv, is like a chiyuv d'oraisa. It was based on the Ruach HaKodesh of Megillah's Esther. It's brought down in the Pesukim. So, a man's chiyuv is a chiyuv d'oraisa. So what about a woman's chiyuv? She also has a chiyuv. So she also be the same d'oraisa. Well, we just said, women are normally exempt from time-based mitzvahs. So granted, Megillah's Esther, written up the Ruach HaKodesh, says it's a chiyuv, and that chiyuv is like a d'oraisa. But women are exempt. No, but we said this af hein ha'i ba'os ha'neis. They're part of the neis, so they have a chiyuv. Zok the Shagas Aryeh, that's only a chiyuv derabanan. A man's chiyuv Megillah is a deraisa, and a woman's chiyuv Megillah is a derabanan. So you can't have a chiyuv derabanan. Be motzi a chiyuv d'oraisa. That's how the Shagas Aryeh understands these halachas. Af hein haya ba'osa anes is a takana. It's a derabanan. That doesn't match up with a d'oraisa of a man's chiyuv, which is divrei Kabbalah. It's written there. Huh? So that itself, you're right. So Rabbi Akiva Eger really takes a couple points on Shagas Aryeh. One of them is what you brought up. Is it's not so simple to categorize a chiyuv in Megillah Esther, even if it's written out Ruach HaKodesh, to be termed the full mitzvah saseh d'oraisa. Pashup Shat, that's a lower level. We have a thing called divrei Kabbalah. That's not a full din of a d'oraisa. It's not in the Chumash, not in the Torah itself. So seemingly that chiyuv is less than that. So if it's less, yeah. Right, good point. Yeah, well, so we're not. Right. It's a good point. There is, do we view all these mitzvos as full derisas? You gave a very nice nafkamina. that I suffered the raisa, I forgot if I did matanah savyonim or not. So the klal of suffik to raisa l'chumra, if you have a suffik, if you fulfill the Torah or mitzvah, they have to be machmer. Pasha only implies by a full-fledged Torah mitzvah. But something which is only different Kabbalah, seemingly you shouldn't have to have living according to the Shulchan Aruch. That's a good point. So Rabbi Kivi Eger gives over a different idea. Kivi Eger understands that really the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah is Darabanan. And all these mitzvahs are Darabanan. That itself allows us to have the din of Af Hein Haya Ba'osa Anes. The way he understands it is this concept of where we add women to a chiyuv that could only be made possible by a din Darabanan. Where the mitzvah itself is a Darabanan's takana. So on that we could add on to it women. Right? Think of it as a spending bill. Once, Congress already has its bill, so we can add on. Put in the add-ons. Right? Just, slip some money under the table, get your, connections in, and we'll slip something in. So Rabbi Kivi Eger's understanding, you know why women have a chiyuv here on Mikra Megillah? It's only because of the fact that the whole chiyuv on Megillah to begin with is Darabanan. So on a chiyuv Darabanan, there we have this concept of Av Hein Haya Ba'osa Anes, and they could do it. But if it would be anything else, they couldn't. Now he doesn't explain Rabbi Kivi Eger. So if they both have a chiyuv Darabanan, why is it a woman can't be motzi a man? Why not? So I'd like to share with you three other ideas. Why is it a woman can't be motzi a man? So one idea of the Shagas Aryeh, because there's two levels of chiyuv. I came across in the Sefer Harei Kedem, quoting Yosher Ber Soloveitchik from Boston. So it has one idea from him. He explains that, very interesting, that the way the Chazal Mesak in the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah, he really explains one halacha with the other. The reason why women can't be motzi men is because of the Ramaz halacha that women have a mitzvah l'shmoa, men have a mitzvah l'kroa. The way the mitzvah was set up was the man should be the reader for the woman. That's how it was set up. Men have a mitzvah of Kriyas Megillah, women have a mitzvah of Shmiras Megillah, right? I told you who said this, right? The whole mitzvah was set up, a woman should listen to the Megillah. The man, right? It just hit me. Maybe that's part of the reason how it gets around mitzvah seishes man grama. Right? We said according to Avodram, why is it we say women are exempt from time-based mitzvahs? Because they're meshubah to their husband. Okay. But you know what? If you make a mitzvah, which is still meshubah to their husbands, the man has to read, the woman has to listen. So you're keeping in line, in no way you're violating that relationship that the woman has with her husband. Fascinating idea, if Soloveitchik has. Right. Yeah. Right. Well, I'll get to those practical things. So, according to this idea, the reason why a woman can't be motzi a man, woman has a different mitzvah. A woman's mitzvah is to hear the Megillah. The man's mitzvah is Kriyas Megillah. So the relationship has to be the man motzi the woman, not the woman be motzi the man. I see they also brought here an answer from Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, the brother of Chaim, more brisker Torah. So he said a little differently than his son. why is it that a woman can't be motzi a man? Very interesting idea. That af hein haya ba'osa anes. Women are chayiv in the mitzvah of Megillah. But it's more, it's a different type of chiyuv than a man's chiyuv. Right? The way he puts it is Chazal Misaki in the mitzvah to lein Megillah. So a man has a mitzvah of lein Megillah, not because of Kriya versus Shmiya. You know, I assume the Dochik with that shot before is there are two shitas. There's a Bahag, the Machaber brings, and the Ramah brings the other idea of the It's not so simple to tie the two together. So Rav Moshe Soloveitchik is saying that the reason Afinali Bosa Nais makes a chiyuv for women to hear the Megillah, but it's not a chiyuv as part and parcel of that first chiyuv of Mikra Megillah. It's a separate chiyuv. It's his general rule, wherever women were part of the salvation of the miracle, they're also responsible. But the fact that it's an add-on, it's a separate mitzvah, makes it so separate they can't be motzi a man. That's how Rav Moshe Soloveitchik learns it. And I want to share with you one additional idea. Seems like everybody in the Brisk family, the Soloveitchik family, has a little different way to say it. So we started, you know, Sheber Soloveitchik, the Moshe Soloveitchik, now you go to the other strand of the family, the Brisker Rav. I came across the Brisker Rav in the Ksavim in Erechin. Has a very interesting idea. Remember we started off with that the mitzvah of Megillah is a mitzvah seisha, is man grama. It's a time-based mitzvah. So we asked, okay, so women are exempt. Why? Because you have this rule, af hein haya ba'os ha'anez, how does that work? Why the chayiv all of a sudden? So the language of the Brisker Rav is af hein haya ba'os ha'anez. It really has a whole chakira. But his idea is af hein haya ba'os ha'anez is able to override the din of zman grama. How? So, I think this might be the pshat. Why is there a p'tor of Av Hein Hayu Ba'os HaNes? Right? Av Hein Hayu Ba'os HaNes makes it there's no chiv of Zman Grama. That's his lashon. There are certain mitzvahs that the Torah says is based on time. Time is the cause of the mitzvah. Rashi uses a lashon in Kedushin. Zman garam la teshetavo. The time is the siba which brought about this mitzvah. Every year, on the 15th of Nisan, there are chiyuvim, because it's the Yom Tov of Pesach. The zman brings about that chiyuv. It causes the chiyuv. However, once you say the mitzvah of women on Megillah is af hein haya ba'os ha'anes, you know what you really say? It's not the time that today is Purim the 15th, which is Gorm the Chiyuv. It's the Nes. Af hein haya ba'os ha'anes. The Nes is a Chiyuv, not the time. It's not a time-based mitzvah. The mitzvah is based on the Nes. If the mitzvah is based on the Nes, Av hein haya ba'os ha'anes, it's not a time-based Chiyuv. Av hein haya ba'os ha'anes makes it that this is not a classic mitzvah asei shazman grama. It's not the time which is causing the mitzvah. Really, what's causing it is the part is being part of the nes. Women part of the nes, 100%. It's a male they have a chiyuv too. So it's very interesting. Comes out, there's quite a few different ways to understand this Chiddushic idea that women are responsible for Mikra Megillah because they are part of the Nes. On one level, Shagasayer looked at it as a lower chiyah, one's a Darabana, one's a Daraisa. Shaber Salvation looked at it. It's a different type of chiyav. A woman's chiyav is to listen, a man's chiyav is to read. Rav Moshe Soloveitchik looked at it. It's an add-on. It's really a separate mitzvah. It's part of the mitzvah, but in a certain sense, it's a separate mitzvah. That's why it can't be motzi others. And the Brisker Rav's idea sounds fascinating, is it may not even be considered time-based. Af ein ha'yibosa neis, the chiyav comes from the neis, not from the time. I would like to get to some practical shilas that we started off with. Which, first off, we asked, should a woman go to shul? Is that something, what does she have to go to shul to go and hear Megillah? So, simply put, the answer is yes. In the earlier poskim, they talk about the mitzvah Megillah, going to shul. Rav Amadj Melech, it talks about bringing women and children there. So it seems like, especially the way we explained it before, that the whole mitzvah of Megillah is a hallel of Purim, it's persume nisa. So the best way to be mefarsh in the neis, ideally, is for women to go to shul, where at all possible. Just like men go to shul for Mikra Megillah, again, assuming they're not sick and in coronavirus issues. But, right, especially the women's sections can be quite stuffy sometimes, depending where you're daven. So, if a woman's able to, 100% the woman could go to should go to shul. Let's say a woman can make it to shul. Timing doesn't work out, babysitting, things to do. What should a woman do then? So, interesting shaila. Is there an inyan to have a minyan of 10 women to hear Megillah? That'll all be done. I'm not talking about women laning, per se. Right? But can I have a... What's the idea of a minyan of women? So, the polls can bring down that a minyan of women is not called a tzibur. A tzibur is men in a shul, that's a tzibur, that's Rav Amadj Melech. But even if you have 10 women together, that's not a tzibur, it's not a minyan. However, it is a greater manifestation of persume nisa. They may not be a tzibur, but there are women together, that's a greater persume nisa. And therefore, I suppose can bring down if a woman... A very interesting nafkamina. If a woman has a choice, I could have a private balkore in my house, or I could go to the burgers, I'll go to some house where there's a gathering of women laning. Should I go there? Now again, if your scheduling doesn't work out, the timing doesn't work out, your husband's been dying to lane for you for the past few years, he's been practicing. Right, okay, that's own bias. But putting aside other considerations, very interesting idea. The VIP private Megillah would be second best to going to a gathering of women. Going to a gathering of women may not be at Sibar, but it's greater Persume Nisa. And therefore, if women are able to participate at least in that, not going to shul, but they're going to a communal, laning. You know, where's Alan? You know, Alan has the list in the neighborhood here of all the Megillah lanings. I should have him put stars at, the bigger minyanim, right? The bigger gatherings of women. It's even better, seemingly. I saw two interesting nafkaminas on the practical halachas of someone laning for women. So we already talked about earlier in the share. Since the Ramah brings down that men and women might have different chiyuvim, the man has a mitzvah lekroa Megillah, the woman has a mitzvah l'shmo Megillah, so the language of the bracha is l'shmoa, and even ideally maybe a woman should make that bracha for others, providing she didn't hear it yet. So I found two very interesting nafkaminas. Firstly, that bracha that we said that we make for the women, That's only the bracha before the Megillah. But we know after we lay Megillah, there's another bracha. Rabbi Sirveno, pretty long bracha. That bracha is only said b'tzibur. If there's a gathering of women, it's not a shul, it's not a minyan, you do not recite that bracha. Very important for Bali Kriya. The second bracha, the bracha you make after the laying of the Megillah, that is not recited when you just have a private women's gathering for reading Megillah. And the second nafkamina, which is also very important, especially busy Bali Kriya, is one allowed to sit when he lays Megillah Esther? Simple answer is no. Right? We do things for a tzibur, right? So that tzibur can't sit. So the Baal Koreh should not be sitting. But that's only a Baal Koreh in shul or with a minion of men which has a din of a tzibur. But since we just said you could have 50 women there, it doesn't make it a din of a tzibur. So practically speaking, this Baal Koreh, who's lain four times already, could sit and lain Megillas Esther to women. Very interesting nafkamina. 100% allowed to sit because the gathering of women doesn't have a din of a tzibur, and therefore he'd be able to sit. Very interesting. And finally, we posed that question before. What do you do for babysitting? The husband's going to shul. That's given. Right? Putting aside shalom bias issues. The husband's going to shul. Question is, who's going to watch the rest of the younger kids? Either a 10-year-old boy, he'll stay home, and he'll be part of the women's, you know, gathering later. He'll go to some women's mini at the burgers. Or should the 10-year-old boy go with his father to shul, and the mother of the house, the wife, stay home? Very interesting shaila. What's also interesting, I found the shaila in Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky's Kovetz Halachos. It's very intriguing. I looked at it quickly. I have the earlier version of the Sefer. The shaila was there in the earlier version. In the later version, I didn't find it. Usually when you see things taken out of the Sefer, you scratch your head. What happened? I don't know. Maybe there was some shalom bias issues. Who knows? I don't know. I'm not therefore posking this. If it was taken out, I don't know. But it says Rav Shmuel spent a lot of time thinking about the shaila. He wasn't sure what the right approach is. He ended off concluding he thinks that the boy should go to shul with his father and the wife stay home. Even though, look, a woman's chiyav, afi no yibol zanez, chiyav d'rabbanon, so is a chiyav chinach. So why is the boy trumpet? But especially, I could understand it, with the different hezberim we said later, the afin ha'ibos aneis might be an added chiyav, it's not part of the mitzvah itself, it's a little different, a little on the outside, it might only be a lesser chiyav of l'shmoa, not l'kra, maybe a different type of chiyav. And maybe that's a reason why the boy, even though it's only chinach, and only drabanon, but it's chinuch within the normative main mitzvah of Kriya or the etzem takana of Megillah, and therefore maybe his chiyuv comes first before a woman's chiyuv of afein ha'ibel zanes. Not pashut. But either way, what comes out from this?
Takes the son to the minyan.
So he'll do Pesumin Yisa.
Mitzvah,
okay, interesting.
Then Pesumin Yisa and he's Mekayim Chinuch.
Maybe.
But if it goes the other, you know.
Right. But what emerges from this is hopefully not just a better appreciation for the women's mitzvah, but also for us a better appreciation of the man's mitzvah. Because here's a perfect example of the nuances in halacha. You know, to the simple person, yeah, men do the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah, women do the mitzvah of Megillah, we're all the same. We see from here in Judaism, it's separate, it's somewhat not equal. Right? There's a man's chiyuv of Mikra Megillah, there's a woman's chiyuv of Shmias Megillah. There are nafkaminas between those chiyuvim. They're different. They're the same in some ways, but different in others. And as Hashem, we should all be zocha to fulfill the mitzvahs of Purim in good health and in good cheer. And she'll have a wonderful, wonderful time. Thank you very much, everyone, for listening. Have a wonderful, wonderful week.